And my friend, I want you to note, the rapture can happen at any moment.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the first part of this message by Pastor Brian Grant we're hearing this evening, Pastor Grant assured us from Scripture that believers in Jesus Christ will not experience the terrors of the tribulation that will fall on all the earth. Praise God! We are not destined for wrath, but for the eternal joy of being with Jesus. Indeed, the great catching away, the rapture of saints living and dead, will trigger that time of incredible horror on earth. The sad part is that no one who has ever heard the simple gospel of saving faith in Christ needs to be here. Listen with us now as Pastor Grant concludes his message, The Big Reveal, Part 2.
Joan was invited to dinner by her new boyfriend, Kevin. And so she was dressed to the nines, waiting on him. But after waiting an hour on Kevin, without even a call from him, she assumed she had been stood up. And so she took off her makeup, put on her pajamas, gathered all the junk food she could find in the house, and sat down to eat and to watch TV with her dog. Halfway into her movie, the doorbell rang. And guess who it was? It was Kevin. He stared at Joan in her frumpy pajamas. And he said to her, "I can't believe it. I'm 2 hours late and you're still not ready." Can you imagine the gall? Kevin was 2 hours late, and he had the gall to blame Joan for being late. You know, guys often complain that ladies have a problem with time. But the truth is, well, guys, don't throw stones at me now. The truth is, there are a lot of men who obviously can't read a clock. Ladies, would you agree with me? They obviously can't read a clock for their own. Some men are late all the time. Don't worry, someday I'll come back to the ladies, all right? But whether you are male or female, there's an event coming. Don't worry, this message has nothing to do with males or females. It has to do with both. There's an event coming that whether you're male or female, you'd better be ready for. Amen? For Jesus is coming again, and since we don't know the day or the hour, we need to make sure we're ready now. Amen? We need to make sure we're ready right now. And I want to ask you before I get going, are you ready for the Lord's return? Because ready or not, He's coming. Amen? Last week I spoke about the big reveal and focused on 3 Old Testament prophecies about the Lord's first coming to earth as a baby. But the Old Testament also revealed that Jesus is coming again. And the Bible teaches that next time He will return as King of Kings. And so today I'm going to get into a little bit into Bible prophecy. For some of you, this will be brand new stuff. For some of you, you'd have heard it before, but you better get your notes because some of it will take some time to fully digest, and you're going to need to go home and digest some more. Amen. And by the way, if you want to write me or call me, you're free to do that as well. The Bible tells us that the next time Jesus returns, He's coming as King of Kings. So today I'd like to focus on the second coming of Christ. We're talking about the second coming of Christ as we go to the big reveal, part 2. In last week's message, I shared that over 700 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Micah prophesied about his incarnation and prophesied that the Son of God would become a man so he could die for our sins. But in Micah chapter 5 verse 2, God also revealed that Jesus would one day reign as king on earth. You see, Micah 5 not only talks about Jesus coming as a baby, it also speaks of Jesus coming as king on the earth. And he has not yet reigned on earth, so you would better believe it. That part is yet to be fulfilled. Jesus is coming again, and he will reign as king on earth. The Jewish nation was so excited about that part of the prophecy. They were excited that Jesus would one day come as their Messiah to overthrow their enemies. And they assumed that when he came the first time, that was what he had come to do. They were excited because the Jews were going to have their own kingdom. The Jews are going to be top dog, or so they thought at that particular time. Well, when Jesus was on earth, he did so many amazing miracles that some Jews started to realize this must be their coming Messiah. Because who else could do all this stuff? Who could still a storm? Who could raise the dead? Who else could do all this stuff? So they started realizing that this person, this Jesus was really somebody special, and their Messiah had actually come. And so almost immediately, Jewish moms started jockeying for positions for their sons. You know, sometimes people still say that happens today. Am I right about that? So Jewish moms got to work immediately. And remember what Salome, or if you want to say Salome, the mother of James and John, did? They came to Jesus and they said, "Jesus, we know you're the Messiah. Please arrange it that my boys will have top spots in your administration. I want one of my sons on your right hand." You remember that passage? "And I want another one at the left." What a greedy lady. Come on. With all the other mothers with children, why should your two boys hug all the good spots? One on the right hand and one on the left. But in his first coming, Jesus did not come to establish a kingdom. Are you with me this morning? He did not come to establish a kingdom. He came to die for the sins of the world. And as a result, the Jewish people rejected him because they were not looking for a savior. They were looking for a Messiah. They scoffed at the idea of the suffering savior. They wanted a king. And I want to ask you this morning, the Spirit of God, as God challenges us this morning, who are you looking for? Are you looking for a savior, or are you only looking for someone who can fill your pockets and take care of your stuff? Jesus came, number one, first, to die for the sins of the world. And thank God that everyone who submits to him and comes to him for salvation, he's willing to cleanse us from all our sin. Hallelujah for the blood. Amen. But Jesus is coming back as to reign as King Supreme. And I want this morning to share four aspects of the Lord's second coming. And I put the first one down. Here's the first thing we want to talk about this morning. The Battle of Armageddon. The Battle of Armageddon. Hold your fingers. We're going to be in this passage in Zechariah chapter 14 quite a bit. Here's how it reads in verse 1 and 2 of Zechariah chapter 14. And it's towards the end of the Old Testament. And if you can't find it, look it up in the index. It's okay. Sometimes we don't come to this passage often, but it has a whole lot of stuff in here. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1. "Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city." the Battle of Armageddon. By the way, if you wonder where the word Armageddon comes from, look, you put in your notes, Revelation 16:16 identifies the name of the place where they will be gathered as Armageddon. They will be. This is the Battle of Armageddon. I've given you a lot of notes this morning to fill in, so here we go. Here's the first thing I want you to write down. 520 years before Jesus was born, Zechariah revealed details about the final world war, which will be focused on the destruction of Israel. The final war. The world will come together to totally wipe Israel from the globe. This will be the deadliest war in history and will take place during the tribulation period. We're going to have to give you some notes to help you to get the context. So what is this tribulation period? Add this to your notes. The tribulation is a 7-year period of unparalleled destruction. Follow me, write it down, because we can go over it again if you call me. At least you'll have the notes. It's a 7-year period of unparalleled destruction following the rapture of the church and before the second coming of Christ. This will be a terrible time on earth, for with Satan's encouragement, the world's advanced weapons of mass destruction will be used in an attempt to wipe Israel from the face of the globe. But born again Christians need not fear, for we will not be here. Amen. I just wanted to make this clear in case you're starting to worry as a Christian. I just want you to know that the Christian, a born-again Christian, will not be here during the Battle of Armageddon. We're going to be gone by then. God is going to take us home. Amen. 1 Thessalonians, hold your finger in Zechariah 14, because we're going to have to keep coming back there. Turn with me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I'm going to pick up reading at verse 13. I do not want to be the ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. By those who fall asleep, he's speaking about Christians who have died and they have gone to be with Jesus. And so he says, I don't want you to be ignorant about what has happened to Christians who died. Some of you whose parents have died, or you have a child who has died and the child knew Jesus. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant about what has happened to those who have fallen asleep, who have gone to be with Jesus, lest you sorrow as others who do not have hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and we believe that, don't we? If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. So what God is saying, that Christians who are with the Lord right now, when he is coming in the rapture, when he comes, he's going to bring the Christians who are asleep in Jesus, those who right now don't have a physical body, because when mama died, her body was left right here in the casket, wasn't it? But mama, her soul and her spirit, which really is who mama is, the body is just the house that mama lived in, amen? If mama knew Jesus, her essential being is right now in the presence of God. And he, the Bible says, if we believe that Jesus, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Your husband and your wife and your kid who know Jesus at the rapture, he's going to bring them with him. You see, friend, people without a body in the presence of Jesus right now, they're going to need a body to walk the streets of gold. Amen? You can't walk the streets of gold without a body. Amen? You can't enjoy everything that God has prepared without a body. And we'll get a body, an incorruptible body that cannot ever die, can never feel pain again. Amen? I better get back and stop preaching, or I'll never finish what I want to talk about this morning. Verse number 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Those of us who are alive when Jesus comes in the rapture, we're not going to go nowhere before those who have already fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Amen. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We will always be with the Lord. Are you looking forward to that day? Amen. Whether you go by the rapture or still alive, we're all going to get a brand new body that will never ever be destroyed, and we will be with Jesus forever. Amen. Amen. So put this in your notes. At the rapture, the Lord will descend from heaven to take the saved of every age to be with him forever. Let me just pause here and say, if you're listening on the radio or whatever, you just call the office and we'll be happy to send you the outline as well. The dead in Christ will rise, and then all living born again believers, so the dead in Christ are born again believers who are at home with Jesus, those will rise, and then all living born again believers will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Our bodies will be changed into an incorruptible body, and we will be with the Lord forever. Can the church say hallelujah, praise the Lord? Before the tribulation begins on earth, let's get the timeline good now. Before the tribulation begins on earth, every born again Christian is going home. Did you get that? The Christians who are alive are going to be raptured before the tribulation begins. Before drama breaks out on earth. Before the battle of Armageddon breaks out. Every born again believer will be taken out. For God has not appointed us to tribulation, but to salvation. Amen. And my friend, I want you to note, the rapture can happen at any moment. I'm not making that up. The rapture can happen at any moment, for there is no prophecy in the Bible that still has to be fulfilled before the rapture comes. Absolutely no prophecy that has to be fulfilled. The rapture could come before New Year's Day. Am I right about that? No prophecy. And my, listen, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Because my friend, once the rapture comes, I don't have time to go into that. Once the rapture has come, nobody who has ever heard the gospel will be able to be saved. The rapture closes the door of opportunity. All those who had a chance and heard the gospel before the rapture, the Bible says God will send you strong delusion that you will believe the devil's lie so that you will be damned. The Bible actually says that. And I challenge you, my friend, if you hear the word of God today, don't play games with God. Because God is giving every young person, an older person, an opportunity today to say yes to Jesus and to invite him into your heart. This is the same Jesus who hung on the cross for your sin. And today he's inviting you to come, because once the rapture comes, and the rapture can come at any moment, the day of opportunity closes. But look at verse 2 of Zechariah chapter 14. Here's how it says, I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Armageddon will be an awful time, particularly for Jews, for mankind's hatred for Jews will boil over again. Verse 2 tells us, I don't know if you noticed this in verse 2, that large numbers of Jewish women will be raped. Did you see that? Did you read that? Large numbers of Jewish women will be raped, and the world will do what? Nothing. You have already started to see it. We're not in Armageddon yet. For whatever reason, you know, one of the ways that you know that Jews were God's earthly chosen people is because they are hated more than anybody else. It's almost like we resent the idea. How dare God? But I don't know about you. Anytime you ever start feeling about how dare God to choose them, you need to say to him, how dare God for choosing me? Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad this morning? Aren't you glad as a born-again Christian that you have been chosen by God and that you are saved by the blood of Christ for a much better blessing? Amen. I would rather be a born-again Christian than a Jew any day. Listen, because the Christian and the, listen, becoming a Christian is a blessing that's open to the entire world. It is not set apart for some race. Every human being can receive Jesus Christ and become a part of God's church. And my friend, if I may be speaking to somebody and you have an issue with the Jews because God chose them, I beg you this morning, forget about them and seize the fact that God's salvation is available to every human being. Listen, Jewish women will be saved. Half the population of Jerusalem will be imprisoned. Did you see that in the text? The brutality of World War II concentration camps will be taken to another level. And some of us have gone and seen these concentration camps and are aware of what was done to these people. But the brutality of World War II will be taken to another level. God has it all here. But as Israel faces its darkest hour in history, their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, will intervene. This will trigger, put this into the second point, this will trigger Christ's second coming to earth. Point number two, Christ's second coming to earth. My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.